Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is not good. Am I connected?
Okay, welcome to Saving the Family, folks, for the show. My internet burp kisses the clock at 6, and I had to reconnect. Somebody tell me in the chat room whether or not you can hear me. Because I don't know if I'm talking to myself or not. I said, where will be? Ah, oh, you can hear me. Well, that's the other always publishing. Keep you straight. Thank you, baby. All right, guys, we are here. And what an interesting week it has been thus far. 2 days into it, Obama got on TV and said a bunch of nothing. We didn't even justify why we were spending billions of dollars a day, more than any other nation, with his little high rate. But those of you who watched Beck today, and you watched what he did with the explanation of their new policy for taking care of those in need across the world. Obama has given himself permission to enter any country he wants that he feels like is not taking care of people and has humanitarian issues. Somebody's saying all garbled. Can you guys hear me all right now? Louder or closer? Maybe I need to turn it up. Let me answer Bill, see if I can get Bill in here. Hey, Bill, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Hollis. You're coming across like the old military backpack radios.
Bill, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, I
hey,
can hear you.
There you go.
There we are.
I was plugged in all backwards. All right, that is good. I am sorry, folks. We are having some technical difficulties. I'm not sure who just called in. Who's calling in?
I can hear you. Well, that'd be me. I'm Frank.
Hello? Hey, Frank. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I just was going to call to listen because I'm not getting it over the computer. It seems like it's starting to come in a little bit. I hear Hollis loud and clear.
Well,
I
got my
act
together,
Frank,
basically.
Oh, now I've got the delay going in my ear. I got to turn that down.
Yeah, you got to do that, sir. You won't be able to hear it.
Anyway, the reason I called in is because I've got questions.
Okay.
But I always do. I'm a curious guy. All things point to some kind of some epiphany happening in September of this year. And I don't know if it's that's when Israel cuts loose and takes us to the next level, but it appears that several organizations that, you know, have been recently founded. You know, even this InfoGuard thing is brand new. The new civilian FBI police force for the United States, that seems to kick in September. Does anybody else have any thoughts on what our illustrious elite have in charge for us or in store for us for the month of September?
Well, if it turns out as I expect it to, in September, Israel may very well start taking out Iran, which would be a good thing. But the sad part is we won't back them. I think Beck made that obviously clear today. They're going to stand behind the Palestinians before they will Israel, because the whole point in them passing that new policy of humanitarian warfare, basically, is what I'll call it, because they're going to go and take out folks who are not being humane to their people. They are saying, and they've been trying to say for a long time, that Israel is being inhumane to the Palestinians. Our first and largest mistake in the world is not to back Israel.
Are you coming to that conclusion from a religious point of view, or the fact that that's the only civilization for 1,000 miles in that particular part of the world?
I'm coming to that realization. Yeah, there's some biblical references to that for me, but at the same time, they're the only people in that region that have been straightforward, honest, caring, and stood behind us for any length of time. What, 60 years now?
60 years, yeah, since their inception.
And we cannot, and Obama could care less. I mean, he is displaying himself as a Muslim more with each passing day.
Well, Muslim or not, he's a commie, and commies like central government, and so do theocrat Islamists. So I believe.
Well, can you just imagine how it would set the world on its ear if Obama was a Muslim world come out and declared Obama to be the 12th Imam?
Yeah, well, that isn't going to happen. That's for sure.
He'd be
really
worshipped, and that's what he wants. He wants to be worshipped. Look how he stands there, and he always cocks his chin up in the air and stuff. I mean,
well, the bottom line is
this man, nobody can be more in love with this man than he is himself.
Well, it's like Beck said, you know, in his speech, it was all I. I mean, every speech he does is that way, because he's a, you know, egomaniac. He's a narcissist, and that's the way it is. There's no getting around that.
Well, I got news for the Muslim in chief. They want to saw his head off just as fast as they do any other run-of-the-mill is infidel. So
yeah.
That's where that stands.
The reality of it is
pompousness. They believe that by collaborating with them and appeasing this Islamic nightmare, that somehow they're going to like us. History tells us otherwise.
Well, did you guys catch that they have their new missile defense system up and operational?
What do they call it? Iron Curtain or something? I can't remember.
Yeah. See, that was one segment on the news in this past 6 days. They didn't go any further than to say that they had got it up and functional. Okay? But that alone tells me Israel isn't going to wait till September. Israel was waiting to make sure they could defend themselves. They got that up and operational. And, guys, I don't believe they'll wait.
I don't blame them for not waiting. They're a very tiny country. If there was some kind of a nuclear incursion, it would pretty much take care of Israel.
Well, I'm amazed that they haven't struck before, until I saw the coverage that said that they've got their missile defense system up. Folks, where did that come from? Where did their missile defense system come from for them to be able to put it together?
It
George
may very
Bush.
Well have come from their own industrialized world. They're very good at technology, actually.
George,
they
were given the technology for the missile defense system by George Bush.
All right.
That's where they got
Patriot missiles, but I didn't know about this laser thing.
Yeah, they got the technology from us before Bush left office.
Well, we should have that technology.
We do.
We do.
And they won't spend the money to put it together.
Matter of fact, they were working on it, and Obama stopped it.
Well, that was an appeasement to the other commies in Russia.
Exactly.
Well, if you look at it, he stopped our missile defense system. He's weakened us with the nuclear treaty. In every aspect of it, he has weakened us.
Well, it's
militarily.
It's part of his purpose.
Economically.
His purpose. That's the whole thing. I mean, you listen to guys, and Lord knows I'm not sitting here promoting Donald Trump for president, guys. Don't take it that way. But his stand on the fact that we need the strongest military in the world, he is 100% correct. And we are not far from not having that.
Well, in the
because
Western world,
we are so overwhelmed. Say, yeah, in the Western world, we do. But
this evidence in Libya, it should be blatant. The British can't even, you know, after this first round, they won't be able to resupply their airplanes with pilots. They don't have enough. That's news today. That you know, mm-hmm. they will not be able to staff their air force because they just don't have enough pilots.
Well, all this garbage about the Americans, you know, we're not going to take the lead. We're not going to do this.
That's all garbage.
We are going to have the lead from now until this thing ends. God only knows how long it will take. But here's the point, guys. Why Libya instead of somewhere else? And what was the purpose? It's a humanitarian purpose, my foot. It was to stress our military further, to stress our economy further, okay, so that Obama weakens us that much more. And I have to believe that.
Well, I can give you the left two arguments on that. One, that it was humanitarian, and you've covered that. But the other is that we were involved in the coalition when we went to Afghanistan and Iraq, and we're just returning the favor because they, you know, came for us. But I'm curious to this other thing is, where are all the signs, no war for oil? Because this one is blatantly for oil.
Oh, it is. It is. It is. And where are all the people screaming and shouting and crying and cussing? You know, we're spending money to go into a country for the oil. That's just
that's what we need to be doing. That should be our job. Next time you get to a rally, make sure you have a no war for oil sign.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. He has basically two-faced himself into he railed on Bush, he railed on Bush, he railed on Bush, and now he's done exactly what Bush did in a worse way, with less cause and a weaker argument than Bush gave. Because, I'm sorry, guys, say what you want. I got no doubt Saddam Hussein was getting rid of weapons of mass destruction and had them, okay, when we went in, or he wouldn't have killed the number of people he did. It was proven he was killing people with chemical weapons. Okay? Somebody came and got him. He got them out. That's the bottom line. Okay?
Not a huge
and
fan
if
of
you
Bush.
Have... I'm not either. There's a lot of things he did I didn't like, a lot of things he did I did like. But the bottom line is we did what we did, okay? You could use the same argument for Iraq that you used for Libya. He was killing his people. His sons were brutal mercenaries.
Bush had a way broader coalition than we have this round, too. I mean, he had nations involved in the
Well, it's just
coalition.
Like Patrick.
Like triple.
Like, Patrick put on the chat room earlier, you know, you got 12 countries supposedly in this, and none of them are spending money but us.
Well, we're
here's
spending
the bottom line.
60%, 55 to 60% of the money that's going towards this we spend.
We lock down,
they average about $5 million a day. We're at $55 million a day.
If we lock down the billions of dollars that they said we did from Gaddafi's bank accounts, that should pay for this action. And if we aren't out there telling our senators...
What really worries me is we're firing all these missiles and stuff. Are we replacing them?
Well, we have to. We have to.
Well,
there's
we say we have
that's
to,
a good question.
But with Obama, can we trust him that he's even replacing them? Or is he using this as a tactic to use up all our ammo and leave us with nothing?
Oh, here's the newsflash. Our new missiles are going to be solar-powered.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
well, let me throw this at you guys.
On our missile.
All right, let me throw this at you guys. Okay, I know Bill's military. He's an ex-Ranger just like me. Okay, but I remember. I mean, I spent 7 years in the military, and I used to tease my wife. I gave them 7 years to kill me. They couldn't do it, so here I am. Okay, but I learned a great deal being in. You know, the Ranger Battalion doing the special ops type stuff that we did. And I remember having some commanders that were really some ditzes. I mean, they didn't last long. And they'd be gone because they just didn't keep them around to get people killed. Okay? But let me ask, has anybody even mentioned this or thought about this? Okay? How many senior military officers are evacuating the military because of Barack Obama, his policies, and what he's doing to it?
Don't
Has anybody
tell
taken...
is doing a great job at evacuating the military.
Well,
yeah.
Look at the frustration on these officers. Look at the frustration on these enlisted men in having to follow such a bozo and doing what his bidding. I mean, they're amazing men and women that have stayed as long as they have. I'm just really curious in the really well-qualified, well-educated, you know, guys that are major and above who make the function of the military work, how many of them are retiring and exiting stage left because they cannot tolerate what commander they have and what he's asking of them. And how he's stressing the military.
He's tying their hands.
This our military's hands are tied. We're going
the
in there as the peace corps.
He is tying our soldiers'
military.
Hands.
One at a time, guys. I didn't hear anything either of you said. Go ahead. Frank?
I said we're going in as the peace corps instead of the military. When in wars past, like World War II, we gave power to the general to win the war. Today, we have members of Congress, the State Department, the Department of Justice, the Department of Defense. They run the war. And we haven't won a war since World War II.
Well, so, because they won't let them go to war.
They will not let them go to war.
They will not let them go to war. I mean, Glenn's right in that, too. There wouldn't be enough bombs if he were leading. Okay? And I stand right there with him. And there's no way Afghanistan would be over had we gone in with anything close to the mindset we had in World War I or World War II. If we had the mindset that it's a war, you break things and kill people, and you get it over with. There's no excuse for us spending the billions of dollars we're spending in Afghanistan when we have the ability and the power and the manpower to go in and end that thing in 6 months. It'd be over completely.
I agree. Sherman said it best. You have to make war so horrible for your enemy that he will really think twice before he considers it again.
That's it. That's exactly it. You have to be just decisive. We could have ended every one of these little skirmishes we've been in short time if we hadn't tied our people's hands and let them actually fight a war.
I couldn't agree more.
I want to know what stopped. I mean, I typed it on the chat room earlier. Let me do this real quick, guys. We're 20 minutes into the show. For those of you listening out there, I don't know how many there are out there tonight, but patriotfamiliesyes.com is where most of us originate from. That's where the show originates from. And we are in a chat room there throughout the day, and a lot of us talk there. And I'm inviting you to come and join us there. There's 720 plus blogs on there and more information than you can digest in a month. Your opinion is welcome. We accept all opinions. We do not accept foul talk and ugly people. We will put you off of the site for that. It is a family-run site. There are administrators on the site, but there are no quote-unquote leaders on the site. The family runs the site, period. We have four radio shows, and I'll go over those here a little bit later. And if you're listening and you want to know where we originate, please, that's where we do. Come there and please give us your input. We welcome ideas on actions that can be taken for all of us to impact this whole situation even more. Back to our conversation.
All right.
Reality, guys, there's no way. Go ahead.
I'd like to add to your comments about our site.
Okay.
Also, Americans for Prosperity teaches activist training for ground up, a way to get your message across. One of the things I find that's effective in my town, besides being involved with the Republican Party, which is a reluctant duty, is to try to co-opt the left's message. And currently we have some wonderful choices, like it's one of them being choice. The left proposes to be pro-choice, but not on anything except abortion. So when I make a sign or a statement to the people that oppose us, I tell them I'm pro-choice. Keep your laws off my vouchers. Americans Prosperity is the organization that gave me some of these ideas. They do a wonderful job. It costs $20 for their course, and it's not like a seminar. I mean, this is hands-on. They tell you how to do it. So if they come to a neighborhood near you, I would suggest that you spend the $20, go spend the day with them. They give you lunch, and it's a remarkable experience. And our arguments become way more persuasive, because even the left, I mean, they like the little sentences. If it's more than a bumper sticker, you're not going to get your message across. That's just the way it is. So in order for us to prevail, we need to bring our message into the same kind of speech that they use, and just reverse it on them. It's their methods, but it's, you know, our message. And if we can do that, we have a shot. Otherwise, we're toast. That was all.
It's not
do
hard
a favor,
to reverse their to reverse what they do on them. They make it so easy with the things that they say to reverse it. And then they just stand there and look at you because they've got no answer.
Frank, you can, if you would, please do something. Get with Yola, get with Ron, or for that matter, you can do it. We need to get that on the site.
I'll do it.
And perhaps on the main page. If we can't get it on the main page, we can put it, you know.
I will post their most recent activity that they sent to me.
Wonderful.
I'll copy it and put it on there.
It's
excellent. They really do a great job, and they have some young people. The other organization that seems to work is Campaign for Liberty. The Ron Paul crazies, they got kids. We have no kids. When I go to our Republican Party meeting, when I'm out in the street with these people protesting various things, Planned Parenthood, whatever, it's all people 55+. That's a bad demographic. If the United States is going to prevail, it's going to take people younger than us. The people 40 and below are who we have to attract. And somehow, you know, the founding fathers aren't very attractive to them because they know nothing of them. So when people get on television and talk about the Constitution, everybody's eyes are rolling over in their head. You have to make this emotional, and that's what we need to be doing. And you can have some fun with it. You know, a lot of times with the young people, I have fun with it. You know, I'm laughing, you know, and it's I've had some success. I've got them to come to see some of the documentaries that are put on by little organizations that are around here like ours, ours being national. Everybody has a local 9-12 group or a local Tea Party or a local 13 Patriots like we have here in Sarasota. Sign up with those people. Go to their events. They put on, you know, great events. You can go see a documentary like Agenda or Cartel or various ones. Even a little bit of the movie that's coming out on the 15th, Atlas Shrugged, which I probably have 15 or maybe a little more than that. Committed people that are going to go on the 15th, below 40 years old, to see that movie with me.
Awesome.
That's what we need to be doing.
Well, the thing I do is I remind people, try to on a regular basis with a blast or, you know, a shout out to people that, you know, our colleges and universities have the younger people in groups that are organized, conservative groups, Republican groups, and we send them letters, you know, occasionally just to invite them to come to the site and co-op with us. And folks, we need to keep doing that kind of stuff because Frank is 100% right. Unless we pull in those guys, the reality is we're all, most of us are on the older side of, you know, the downside of this fight. And somebody's got to stand up when we're gone.
That's a fact.
And unless we teach them, and unless we train them, and unless we get them involved now, they're not going to be there to stand up. So Frank is right on target, and we need to follow his example and stay dead on that and work at it very hard.
It is a thankless job, but there are days when you'll feel good about it. And you know, the other thing, too, is that if you have any faith at all, you know that you're sounding the alarm, and you're doing this. Like for myself, I'm an old guy. What do I care?
You know, yeah, we ain't doing it for us.
What do I care? I got kids. I got a son-in-law. I got a granddaughter. I got a son. I mean, this is for them, and it's the least I can do. The country has been wonderful to me, and if I could just pass on what it used to look like, you know, if you can get your message across of how free we were when we were their age, and that it doesn't have to be that way, and when they talk about government, let them know. You are the government. It's not them are the government. You, as an individual, are the government, and you need to get involved in it and do something about it.
And you are smart enough to make all these decisions they're trying to take away from you for yourself. You are smart enough to do that.
If you present it to them in the right way,
the thing they will do, if you present it to them in the right way, they will take it out and they will share it with their friends and they will keep spreading it and they will start looking things up on their own and then it will keep going. And that's the thing.
Well, we've got
to keep... is not thrilling me. You could go out there and pull some stuff up and you'll get some real crazy responses to individuals that we admire and know better than what you're going to find on Wikipedia. Social media is the new thing. I know all of you know Susan Pack. She's on this thing. She's a social media wizard, and she's done remarkable things in one of the liberal bastions of the United States, Seattle, Washington. And it's because of the skill that she learned from Microsoft. One of the things that brought her to our side of this argument was her travels in the world for Microsoft, going to countries like India and Southeast Asia and seeing the corruption and the tyranny. And to come back here, you know, actually being gone long enough to be sad, and then come back here and see this unbelievable miracle called the United States of America, the richest, freest country to ever grace the planet, where people have more liberty and more freedom. Even today, with them being clouded every day, they whack one of our liberties. But even today, we're still the freest nation on earth and the most tolerant, the most diverse. And if you can get people to see that, that girl's on fire. She's out. I'm going to say three times a week, speaking to young people at colleges and universities. She's way better at it than we are. She's pretty highly educated, and she is a South Korean immigrant to this country. But those type of people have been really effective. If we can incorporate some of them to get our message out, it really helps. She's way better at it than I am. I went to Washington State, and I traveled all the way from Spokane to a suburb of Seattle just to see her speak on Veterans Day, and it made me cry. I mean, literally, I had goose pimples, and I had tears running down my face, and so did the people who came with me. She was that good.
Are there any videos of her?
There probably are, and I'll try to contact her to see. I know she spoke at some large events for different candidates. She got the Secretary of State in Washington State elected, I would almost say single-handedly. She's a dynamic little woman.
Yeah, I grew up in Seattle, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, that place is nuts. It's bad as Chicago.
It's unreal. But if we could get some videos and some of her stuff and some of her speeches and post them, that would be awesome.
Well, you've given me a mission. I'm going to take care of that, and I'll let you guys finish the chat. But I had to add that, and I have to add it every time. I'm banging on that and nothing else. Now, we could talk about who we're going to get as a candidate, but so far I'm sorely disappointed.
Yeah, I don't know who we're going to get. I mean, that's a good topic and a good change and a good transition here. Who is it that's going to have the fortitude and drive to change?
Well, I hate to say it. We need somebody young, good-looking, that can read a teleprompter as good as Obama. That's all it would take. They could be a paper suit as long as they didn't have any dirt, had no background whatsoever, we could probably find somebody swimming up to the beach from Cuba if he could read the teleprompter right. And then, you know, of course, there'd be no background information on him, which seems to be an asset in elections these days.
Yeah.
But the only candidates I know that can articulate our argument are Marco Rubio, Alan West. Newt Gingrich does a great job of articulating the conservative argument. But he has so much baggage and has been so demonized, I don't think he could win. So those are
either.
The type of people we have to seek out. We have to find one of them, and we have to draft them. So be it.
Well, I don't know that they're going to. You know, I don't know that they're going to allow themselves to be drafted. That's the issue.
True.
Ah,
so,
it's a pretty tough job.
There's been talk of Newt using Alan West as his vice president, which would only be using Alan West as a stepping stone to try to get himself elected.
Well, that's what they all do. They all find somebody that's going to draw other folks in, and that's what they all do.
Alan West has no bigger fan than me. He is he's the real deal.
But you can't get him to run.
I'm quite fond of Mr. West myself.
You can't get him to run. That's the problem.
He's another one that'll give you goose pimples if you ever have an opportunity to hear that man speak.
I have watched.
He says that Hollis is, if God wants him to run, it'll happen.
Yeah.
So
what God's up to with this thing he's doing to us lately.
Yeah. Well, Chris Christie, you know, people keep talking about him. I don't want him.
Yeah, I think he's got his hands full right where he is. And again,
he's got some issues. He's got issues. He's got issues with immigration. He's got issues.
He's trying to do a Mitch Daniels and straddle the fence. Mitch Daniels has the same problem. What the public don't know about Mitch Daniels that I fought against him here in Indiana about, Mitch Daniels is for a one world order. He was for the NAU. He was for the Security and Prosperity Pact, which was the superhighway and all that. He was for all those things.
Yeah, I know
well,
a little of Mitch
Daniels. He's definitely not a viable candidate.
But I wasn't really happy with his performance just on this union.
The only viable candidate
in our state was Pence. You know, just on this union thing, he's playing the game instead of standing up on his principles. He's playing the game. Now he's waited for the Democrats to return home. You know who I like but would never make it is the guy from Michigan. From Wisconsin. That governor, he has courage.
Yeah.
They're trying right now to repeal some of the candidates, some of the elected officials, the Republicans. But more importantly, there's an election this May for a state Supreme Court judge, and they're going to get rid of him, and that'll switch the majority. And then all of a sudden, his ruling will be unconstitutional, and that'll be the ballgame. So hopefully people will get out and vote in this, you know, referendum-type election. You know, it's off year. We have power during the general elections. But when we have referendums, the union can kick anybody's butt. They've just so organized, and they've got so many people. Every teacher, every janitor, everybody that's in the union shows up to vote. The regular people all go to work.
Well, the thing about it is you've got I think that dynamic is changing with the groups like you just talked about. Because here's the reality. There are so many 9/12 groups, Tea Party groups, 13 Patriot groups like you just talked about, which I've never heard of. I mean, I Google groups on the internet, and there are gazillions of them out there. And they all have ranging from what we do, where you got 250, 300 people, to thousands. And that is changing the diet. And it's just like your drive, Frank, and your desire and your focus on the younger people. There's a gazillion guys just like you out there doing the same thing, and this movement, Bag Harry Reid and his stupidity saying the Tea Party movement's over, this movement is doing nothing but progressing on a daily basis.
Don't use that word.
Exactly. Get him.
Oh, my ear is burning.
So, you know, it is progressing it's on a move that they cannot stop. They cannot stop what is happening.
They're scared of the Tea Party movement, no doubt about it. The demonization of this is the racist, the hate-filled, the dangerous. I've heard every adjective used to describe the Tea Party, and not one of them is true.
And none of them are working. That's the point. They got to do it again and again and again. It's just like the cliche, if you tell a lie long enough, people will believe it. That didn't happen.
So did you hear the one?
we don't deserve constitutional rights.
They got some chutzpah. I got to give them that. The left has no shame. They have none, and it works for them. And it's
let me throw this out, guys. Let me throw this out. What would this nation do if Obama does what Beck was talking about today on his show and backs Palestine and tells Israel, you got to back off or you got to quit or we go against you?
I can think of a dozen times in the last 2 years he's already done that.
Well, he has.
Well, somebody if it involves military action against Israel, I think there would be an explosion within this nation.
I don't know.
Because it's not just the basis of the Jewish faith. It's also the basis of Christianity's faith. You know, and that, I just think there would be an explosion. That would be the final nail.
In the military that we currently run, there's only one branch that allows you to utter the word Jesus at this time. There's Jay Sekulow's Center for Law and Justice is currently suing three branches of the military to allow that to be said during a prayer. That's how secular we have become in the last 2 years. So the progress
Ron,
by the other side has been staggering. They're hitting us on 100 different fronts. So,
well, you know, here's the reality. All this stuff that's going on, somebody tell me this. Obama didn't go into Lebanon. He did not go into Lebanon just to go into Lebanon. What is that? What are they doing in the background? Somebody tell me what they're doing in the background that they don't want people focused on.
Well, I'm gonna say to you that they're organizing and is making associations with Islamic fundamentalists because they're going to need this enormous army. I even believe that the army that currently is in Egypt will be part of this unilateral force, this huge thing that the left uses to push its views through different countries who object, Israel being number one. When you hear the mullahs talk,
unions are basically joining with the radicals.
Exactly. Well, that's been established, and Beck did a great job establishing it, but it's been no surprise to me for a long time. It's the central government. The argument of experts and, you know, or in the case of the Islamists, the religious, you know, hierarchy makes the decisions for the people, including which hand they get to hold the Quran in and which hand they wipe their butt with. It's that, you know, micromanaged. The left likes that. That's attractive to them. I think that their plan is that eventually if they can get rid of republics like Israel and the United States, and then it will be just be the left against the Islamists, that they think somehow that they're going to prevail. I think they're going to have their hands full fighting an Islamic army that is fully nuked up and ready to go because they have no such restraints on winning. So it should be an awful thing. And I'm hoping that this September isn't that what we're going to see. I thought we were going to see a world war pretty soon, even since 9/11. I believe that, you know, the thing with Iran was going to take off. Now, so far, I'm late. That did not occur yet, although they've technically been at war west in the United States for 31 years. But,
well, that was my concern, and I was wondering how long it would take somebody to say it. But is that the drive? Is that what Obama's trying to set up?
Well,
two
world wars that
21.
We had really shook up the planet, and it put new borders on a lot of countries. Everything was reorganized after World War One, and everything was reorganized after World War Two. There's no reason to doubt that wouldn't happen after World War Three.
Yeah, is that what he's doing? Is that what his agenda is? Because we never heard what his agenda and truthfully. What his agenda was going into Libya?
Well, Agenda 21 and all this all fits into the part, you know, it's all part and parcel of this, the 10 economic entities that they think should rule the world, with the UN being in charge of everything. And, you know, basically the one world order, but five different economic entities. And that in itself is frightening, but, you know, there's plenty of groundwork been laid for that. I mean, we already see the European we'll have the North American Union soon, and take it from there. You know,
which is one reason they would never seal the border.
They don't want to seal the border.
No.
No, and they're not going to. I mean, you got Janet out there saying it is safer than it's ever been, and that she's ridden horses across it. I wish she'd go get on a horse and ride it over there now, because somebody
would
take her out.
That right. She's not.
What if she had
beanbags
for a gun when she went across?
Yeah,
it's safer for the illegals sneaking across. Yes.
Yeah, I'd like
all
to see
gentlemen.
Her on a horse riding that border now, Frank. You're not going anywhere.
Well. All right, I'll hang for a little bit more.
What else you got to do?
Well, I've got to go out and promote liberty and justice. That's what I have to do. I'm going to be somewhere at 7:30. I was going to get ready.
Oh,
I could stay around for a few more minutes. I love talking
to you. I didn't realize you had an appointment there, my friend. I just told Ron to call in because he's on there beating on the chat room to death. So.
Yeah, well, that's a smart guy that Ron called.
Oh,
him.
I know he is.
Real smart. He's very smart. I got to meet him. He came to Sarasota and was a real pleasure.
All right, yeah. He lives here in Atlanta, so we've hung out a couple of times.
A lot of smart guys in Georgia. I can't believe it. They used to drive right through there and not want to stop.
Well, you know, Ron, that goes back, Frank, to what you were saying about the young people and meeting people. You know, and I told it a couple of times here lately of, you know, I met Ron through somebody else. So you never know who you're going to talk to. And who they're going to tell you, hey, I know somebody that could do this and would love to get a part of this. And that's what happens. All right. Somebody else is calling in. Let's get them on. It looks like Ron. Hello. Did it click in? There he is.
How you guys doing? It sounds like you got a pretty good conversation going on.
We are rocking and rolling, my friend.
All that
we
was
are.
Missing is you, Ron.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'm always the last man out, but I seem to always get the last word. I feel like I'm crashing everybody's party.
Well, you know, when you get invited in, you can't crash a party you're invited to, my friend.
Absolutely.
So
I don't know how many people read the blog that I put up on the Patriot site today, but that was fairly early this morning. They have already set up an interim central bank in Libya. It's being run from offshore, not in the country, of course, because it's not safe for the bankers to be there. But they've certainly taken control electronically of all the banking that goes on in Libya and also set up a multinational corporation to run the oil trade. So they're wasting
beautiful.
No time, and they're certainly not worried about being out in the open.
So who's managing this? Is it the U.S.?
Hang on, and I'll get the article up. I don't remember the guy's name now. It's being run out of Bagram, if memory serves me correctly.
You're kidding me.
No. Oh, no. That was the title of the article is, wow, that was fast. Libya, it says, rebels in Libya are in the middle of a life and death civil war with Gaddafi, and still yet they have time to establish a new central bank in Libya and form a new national oil company. Perhaps when the conflict is over, those rebels can become time management consultants. They sure get a lot done.
Al-Qaeda oil.
Yep. According to Bloomberg, the Transnational Council has designated the Central Bank of Benghazi as a monetary authority competent in monetary policies in Libya, and the appointment of a governor to the Central Bank of Libya with temporary headquarters in Benghazi.
So
they wasted absolutely zero time getting exact control of what it truly is they're after. Everybody says it's the oil.
Yeah,
oil
no, it's
certainly
not.
Play a key part.
It absolutely
but it is
a
control
work for
of
oil.
The money.
I don't think they're covering that up either.
No, but it's absolutely control of the money. This is how they control society.
How come our side can't be so effective?
You know, I don't know. Because people are too ignorant, because they don't want change, because they're afraid of what life is like without the system they've been so accustomed to, I don't know. I really don't have an answer.
Breaking the rule?
Yeah. To me, it is, open your Bible and read Exodus, because you're seeing the exact same story take place. You know, we've got Moses leading the Hebrews out of captivity, and they want to go back to Egypt.
Yeah,
they want
true.
To be slaves. They're accustomed to it. They're comfortable with it. And they don't like the unknown, the great unknown and freedom. That's really what it was all about. And we're seeing the same thing played out again. Of course, a little bit different players and the scenario is slightly different, but the result's the same. It's the same human nature at play.
Somebody said something about how much man will endure, you know, as you know, how many inconveniences or something like that that he will endure before he finally breaks loose and will take liberty. I can't remember how that quote goes, but
that was I believe that was Jefferson that said that you know, society is prone to suffer or tolerate injustices as long as they are sufferable.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Until they become insufferable, then that's when they rise up. And that's why I've been saying all along, and, you know, God bless everybody that gets involved in this movement and is waking up, and I applaud everyone and all the efforts. But I guess that's why I was looked at very negatively early on, because I'm saying, look, guys, all this, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You can vote all the greatest guys in the world into Washington, D.C. and in political power, but until you recognize that the monetary system is the method of control used to control every civilization and society on the face of this globe, nothing's going to change. And until the whole damn thing collapses around their ears, 80% of the people are going to do absolutely nothing.
You're right.
I tend to agree with you on that, Ron. I really do. And so when I come up to get my brakes fixed, I'm going to bring a whole van full of pelicans and trade pelicans for a brake job. Basically, barter may be the way
to
do to fight.
What's amazing is how many people have been telling the populace this for how many years, and
oh,
they still haven't got it.
This is nothing new, guys. There have been people sounding the alarm bells since 1913 and before.
Well, here's the issue, guys. The issue is, as long as they've got that paycheck in the bank, food on the table, a house, TV, and a car, they've got the American dream, so why should the rest of that matter to them? The world around them doesn't matter as long as they're whatever's within their vision, you know, and their little world is fine, then they're not going to go any further than that because, number one, the education system has taught them that the ultimate is to chase the American dream. When you've achieved that, that's all you can do. And you can't make a difference beyond that.
Well, that's true. I mean, people are comfortable. And, you know, the old adage back in the Roman times of bread and circus, that's, I mean, as long as we've got more circus, more entertainment than we can stomach.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just we aren't, you know, doing like they did and killing folks in front of everybody and getting excited about it.
And even if they were killing folks, as long as it's not the group that I associate with, well, you know, we could stand to lose a few of those guys. I mean, that's going to be the attitude, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's horrid. And the part of the problem is people don't understand what true freedom is. Because they've never had it. They've never lived in it. And they've really only read about it in books.
Yeah.
I'll concur with that. I'm kind of a slave to the 7-Eleven myself.
Well, certainly. And that's part of the plan, you know. I mean, it's been incremental. First, get everybody consolidated into urban areas, into the city. Get them dependent on government. Get them dependent on public transportation. Get them dependent on this. You got both parents working in the family. They need someone else to watch over their kids. And it just snowballs from there. It's horrible.
Theory Z came back and bit us in the ass.
Well, now that you cheered me up, Ron, I'm going to have to say goodnight because I do have an appointment at 7:30. And I'm not going to tell them all those evil things. I'm going to tell them that this is their country. They can have what they want to have. Those days may be numbered, but if they act now, they got a shot.
Well, I think that's right. The time is right for the people to rise up and take control. And I'm with G. Edward Griffin. He said that the way that you take control of the ship from the pirates is the same way they took control from you. You know, it's not going to happen. You're not going to petition the government and write letters, and they're going to go, okay, gee, you're right. Gosh,
yeah,
guys,
that sounds
reasonable.
I'm with you on that. I've been over the top on what we need to do for 2 years. I thought it was too late when the Tea Party first raised its head. But anyway, good night, everybody, and keep the faith.
Amen.
Have a good one. Be blessed, Frank.
Glad I could lift your spirit.
I'll get that on your site. I'm going to go out and get some radioactivity. I think the sun's still out here. So
there you go.
Bye-bye.
There you go.
I hadn't seen the sun in Atlanta in about a week, so I'm looking for it.
Well, I'll tell you, that's the truth. The weather is horrid.
And it says it's going to stay that way all weekend. It's just going to be cloudy and cold.
Yep.
I don't know who sent that weather in, but they need to take it back because I'm really tired of it.
I agree with you. But, you know, to me, this entire thing with Libya just, in my mind at least, solidifies the position that I've had all along. And that is, it doesn't matter who you put in the White House at this point, Democrat, Republican. I mean, where are all the left-wing wackos that absolutely went overboard for Obama and hated Bush and were all against the war and get our troops out, no more war? Where's the whole anti-war crowd? What in the hell happened to them? They've fallen off the wagon or what?
Yeah, I agree. Where are they at now that he's gone into a country with no justification and you just don't see them?
Well, you know, if you watched Bill Richardson the other night, the former governor of New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
he was giving all the same. It was like he was reading a script that Rumsfeld read before we went into Iraq, giving all the reasons why chemical weapons he's used against his people and all this same old horse crap. And the only reason that we believe or know any of the information that we get about Saddam Hussein or Gaddafi or anyone else is because that's what we're told.
Mm-hmm.
But we really don't know it. I mean, in our hearts, we want to believe that he's an evil, nasty guy. I don't know that for a fact. Certainly, there's enough corroborating evidence that would point to that.
Well,
we really,
a year ago, he was our buddy.
Look how hard it is to keep all those factions in line.
Well, I'm tickled, and I know a lot of people probably aren't, and I see Linda is calling in.
There she is. Is that who it is?
Kind of tickled that now we're seeing the truth come out with regards to Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these folks, you know, with the 9/11 truthers that were saying, hey, you know, we funded Al-Qaeda, we helped them out. What's true? And there's a long chain of evidence going back through Sybil Edmonds, who worked for the FBI, translating intercepted phone calls, and lo and behold, she finds out there's high-level officials in the Pentagon, the State Department, that are involved with these terrorist groups and funneling money through Turkey, and, oh, well, she's put under a gag order. And anybody that thinks that the government may have had at least some kind of foreknowledge that 9/11 was going to happen, well, you're just nuts. You're a conspiracy theorist.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are. We're in a position in Libya where we have our military assisting the very same group of people we're at war with in Afghanistan and Pakistan. If that's not insanity, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Isn't it treason?
Well, it's just, I mean, it just exposes the whole damn system for what it is, and there's no honor among thieves.
But giving aid to the enemy, that's treason.
Well, why are they, I've got grandkids too, Ron, so that's life. Mine do the same thing to me when I'm trying to talk too, so no big deal.
Yeah, I got one. She's in trouble. Mom after her, so.
That happens. Yeah, here's the reality, though. The reality of it is, guys, right now, I mean, the Fox News brings a lot of faces to the news, a lot of different people that nobody else will bring on the news, and they're saying that those guys in Libya that are fighting are the guys that we were battling in Afghanistan.
Well, that's exactly right. Let's look at where all this stuff comes from. Go back. Where did Libya get all of its fighter planes and equipment?
Mm-hmm.
The Soviets, right? And where did Iran get all of its equipment? The U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got F-14s and whatnot. And then we go into Iraq because the deal in Iran kind of went sour in 79, and everybody knows that story. So then we start supporting Iraq and Saddam Hussein. That blows up in our face. Meanwhile, we're supporting the Al-Qaeda. You know, you can call them the Mujahideen or whatever other spin they want to put on it. We're arming them to fight the wicked Soviets over here. We just don't know when to mind our own damn business. And see, we're using
the same crap in South America.
Right. We're using these proxy armies, okay? And these proxy armies are made up of fanatics. And you know, 1 minute they're on our side, and the next minute they're against us, and then they're back with us again. This is asinine. It's absolutely asinine.
Yeah, what are we doing considering arming the rebels in Libya when they're exactly who we've been fighting and trying to destroy in Afghanistan? Does that make any sense at all?
Well, we know Libyan fighters was a high number of fighters coming to the country to fight us.
Yeah.
The same ones.
It's just, and then we're going to turn around and give them arms?
Well,
so
sure.
They can...
we've been giving them arms. My God. I mean, where do you think they got all the Kalashnikovs, the AK-47s? Of course, it was AK-47s. That was all run through Turkey and Pakistan back during the war with the Soviets, when the Soviets were in Afghanistan, and they were supplied with Kalashnikovs because they didn't want them to have M-16s. It'd be too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, I mean, it's absolute insanity when we look at exactly, you know, everything that's going on. When you step back and take a look at the big picture of all the different actions that we've been involved in since World War II. I mean, it goes back to 48, quite honestly. The establishment of an Israeli state that was part of the Balfour Declaration. People need to read about that. And that was a consequence coming out of World War I, for goodness sakes. So, I mean, this is not like it's some new conflict. It's been ongoing. And, yeah, there's been some slow time where there's been a lot of where we've been using these faux armies that we create overseas in the Middle East to fight these protracted battles, because we know politically the American people aren't going to stand for it. And then you end up with guys like Ollie North and the whole Contra affair. You know, we were involved in South America. It's just, it's never ending.
Yeah. I mean, when are we going to learn to mind our own business? That's the question.
I don't think we will. I mean, I think the American people, and we're so divided along all these different lines, you know, whether it's racial or, you know, gender or abortion or gay rights or, you know, good God. I mean, you can just run the gambit. And then you've got left, right, libertarian. How about we just follow our Constitution and quit paying lip service to it?
Exactly.
And get rid of this ideology that, you know, we can't glean original intent. Okay, fine. Let's look at the words that are actually contained in the document, but we have to look at it through the lens of the Declaration of Independence, because that's the foundation of our Constitution. Mm-hmm. Without it, the Constitution is exactly what it is today, meaningless. It has been relegated to the dustbin of history. It's nothing more than a document that's kept captive under armed guard at this point. I mean, it's insanity. Congress is irrelevant. The Constitution is irrelevant. The only thing that seems to have any relevance is the United Nations and the banking system.
Okay.
That's what's managing the world.
It absolutely is. Every market in the world is controlled. All the money is absolutely controlled. Once you control all the money, the rest of it really doesn't matter.
Linda, you're being awfully quiet.
Oh, I didn't know I was on the air. I just couldn't hear you guys. But...
Sorry,
You've been on the air for 20 minutes, girl. Since you called in, I clicked you in.
what Ron was just saying about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, when I was reading in my lovely history books, the founders considered those two to be inseparable and that a violation of one was a violation against the other, and they were not to be separated. And that's something people don't understand because people don't read. So, you know, I can get off that soapbox, but, you know, because you buy them books and they just won't read them. But when you guys talk about the American dream and that people have never really lived in freedom, well, we had a smattering of it when I was growing up, maybe by the age of 10, and I don't know, after that started probably to go downhill. But there was a, 2 years ago, on Rush's radio show, he explained it pretty well. And when you read the 5,000-year leap and you really get into this history of Cicero and Montesquieu and Locke and everybody else, and you look at that leap that we took and how they did it, the brilliance behind it, and you look at America and you look at what we've done in 220-some years with all of these things, from horses and no electricity to flying to the moon, not because our DNA is different, not because we have our appendix on the wrong side or, you know, six fingers and 12 toes or whatever. No, it's because of freedom. And that's what makes, that's what the American experiment and the American dream was all about. Trying to get that across to people is something we must do, and we must tell the truth. Because if we don't, you know, the lame brains ain't going to do it for you. The drive-by media is not going to do it for you. So that was my point.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. And, you know, Linda, if you look at the history of our country and the time where we had the greatest economic expansion during the times of the railroads, the railroad booms, the gold rushes.
Yes.
It also coincides with a time in history that was known as the free banking era.
Oh, that's what I was trying to get to you when I emailed you, because I was like, what was it like then? What is it
right.
supposed to
well,
be?
And that was a time frame between 1836 and 1867 or so. Leading all the way up to 1907, 1913, because we didn't have that central banking authority. And Martin Van Buren, in my humble opinion, came as close as anyone to having the correct idea when it came to banking. He almost took the step of what we would today call nationalizing all the banks. And that sounds kind of scary and socialist, but truly Congress is the one that was given the authority to regulate our money. And the idea that Van Buren had was that the banks that were in existence, they had to take their physical gold and silver down to the local treasury bureau in that state and put it on deposit with them, and then they were restricted to printing money only what they had in gold and silver in actual physical money. So that put a restriction on it, and that really limited what, you know, they couldn't just overinflate the system with BS money. So he came really, really close. And then Lincoln, of course, instituted the Legal Tender Act so that they could print greenbacks to fund the war.
Right.
And it was Solomon P. Chase who wrote the act as the Treasury Secretary, and then later as a Supreme Court justice argued that it was unconstitutional.
Boy, they love to flip-flop, don't they?
Well, they do. And, you know, that's the thing. It was expedient. And there's so many different schools of thought on the Constitution, and the way that it has evolved over the years is that our government and our justice system looks at the Constitution, any act that government does, as if the people accept it and they don't complain and they don't reject it, then it's acceptable. It's constitutional. With the exception of some intrusions on, you know, specific rights or civil rights. And that's just for lip service, to give the appearance that they're upholding some constitutional value.
Correct. Well, I know that in many of Jefferson's writings, he did not want centralized banking. He thought that was horrible.
If you read most of the founders, they had suffered the ills of
that
continental and paper money, and they knew where that led.
Yeah, because,
now,
yeah, that's what they were fighting against.
It was no accident that the very first central bank was the Bank of North America.
Right.
And that was done in 1781 at the suggestion of Alexander Hamilton. And he was playing both sides.
Yeah, I got it all written down, yeah.
Yep, he was playing both sides. He was stroking Robert Morris, telling him what a great banker he was, and he's stroking the Continental Congress saying, hey, this guy will be able to fix our problem. And, you know, if you look at the timeline, it always coincided with war debt, and then it was gone.
Yes, yes.
And then, you know, here we come 1913, we preemptively get the new central bank, and then we're in World War I, World War II, and we've been in perpetual war ever since.
Exactly. So, now, I guess my question is, besides the crap in the Middle East and the craziness and the conspiracy theories and everything, how long before this thing melts down financially?
I don't know. I think that's the question on everyone's lips at this point.
Yeah.
How long? Because, you know, people have been talking about the collapse of the dollar and the financial system for decades.
Right.
And now, suddenly, we're in the midst of it. And suddenly, it's no longer crazy conspiracy. It's actually happening.
It's happening, yeah.
But what is going on is they're trying to do what they call a soft landing. They don't want to just completely demolish all the infrastructure and everything that is in place. So, I mean, it's a precarious dance. I cannot imagine trying to manipulate all of this stuff. And there's it's just like an economy of any economics. There's so many variables, you cannot possibly predict everything. So
I guess the next question is, if things happen and the dominoes fall in this country, let's just go with our country, and the majority of the people wake up, at that point can we reset to where we want it to be?
I think so, but we have to have enough people with a level head.
Yeah.
We can't just run out and start going nuts, which
I
think
that's anarchy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's coming. And I don't know, quite honestly, if we'll ever see at this point a return to nation state government the way that we've known it to be in the past. I really believe that it's going to break down into more regional, you know, local level. And that the idea of, I think people are going to be so put off by control on a large scale that, you know, you're going to see more state government and local government. And
We're there. People are so put off by the federal government now.
Sure.
Yes.
And despite all the instigation and things, despite all the idiots, you know, trying to instigate trouble around the world, I really believe in my heart that that's a lot of what you're seeing going on in the Middle East and all over the world.
Right.
Yeah, people are tired of just being a damn slave.
Exactly. Well, I would even just love to see a return to the 10th Amendment, you know, where we have sovereignty in our states, and get these guys out of our business. You know.
Well, I think at this point that the only thing that's going to get the government where it belongs is for enough people in enough states to get together, and I hate to say it, but we've got to rewrite a new constitution. We've got to make it as ironclad as possible to get around the errors or the ambiguity that's in the one that we currently have.
Well, I'm not sure that rewriting a new one would be the answer. Amending it, and I'm not I'm not opposed to that happening. I think that's a very much needed thing.
Right.
And that way we can go ahead at that time and amend it to make sure that the federal government is only, you know, we can get a balanced budget out of the federal government. We can do a lot of things in doing that to not allow this to happen again and the government to grow to the point to where it is today.
Right.
So that we have these issues.
Well,
I think that needs to happen right now. I think that needs to be pushed today.
Well, you know, first of all, you've got to get you got to deal with these people with the entitlement mentality, and I think that some of the governors are dealing with it now with the public sector unions. But you've got to educate people enough to understand this isn't right and left, because when you say those words, most people don't even know what they're talking about.
Sure.
It's not about political parties. It's about political power. And the founders knew that one end was tyranny and the other end was anarchy. That's what they were talking about, left and right, not communism and fascism. That's party. Commies and the fascists had the same goals. They just had different names. They're running out of names.
Well, it's all collectivism. But, I mean,
Well, the governors need to limit, you know, this welfare system that we survive under. There's got to be limits put on it, and it's got to be reworked to where we don't get in the situation where nobody works and everybody's paid for by the federal government or the state government. That's got to change too.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, and Patrick's saying, you know, the original document is fine, and I agree to a point. You know, to a point it is fine, but then again, you know, look at where we're at. There's enough ambiguity in the document that has allowed, you know, the general welfare and the necessary and proper and the Commerce Clause to be stretched beyond the common sense. And unfortunately, elected officials are not run over with common sense.
Well, and I also fault the American people for not, and the school systems for not having an educated public to fight against that back when it was, you know, going on in the first place, the first abuse of the, you know, the clauses.
Exactly. You know, we weren't vigilant. We just weren't.
No.
We got apathetic. We got comfortable.
Well, you know, Pat's right. If we were to follow what was written, there would be a different state of affairs we'd be in right now.
In the original intent, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't.
I agree.
And they didn't use so many so-called loopholes, didn't bend it to cause a loophole.
Well, and here's the thing, and I hear that term a lot, the original intent. And I think we've actually got to be careful, because that if you really get into the nuts and bolts of what went on in the convention and the resulting constitution, there was a lot of differing opinion as far as what one word or phrase meant in the constitution and what was intended. And I'll agree with some of the justices on the fact that it is not what was intended. It's not what the founders intended to say in the document. It's what they actually said.
Said. Mm-hmm.
And so rather than trying to, you know, because Madison disagreed with Jefferson, who disagreed with, you know, Franklin, but they all agreed on this was the correct phrasing. And one of the reasons why they kept the minutes of the Constitutional Convention from being published, they kept them secret. They weren't released for at least 8 years. And Madison, who took the most copious notes, did not allow them to be published until after his death. And that's because they didn't want people reading through things like the Federalist Papers and gleaning one man's intent for the whole body of work.
And I agree with that.
Right. But in that same sentence, that is why it is absolutely imperative that regardless of anyone else's intent, let's look at the words on the paper and let's take them in light of the purpose for creating that government.
Right.
And
well, I think that's
the,
what Pat's trying to say.
The idea of our Declaration of Independence.
Yeah. I think that's what Pat's trying to say. Follow what the document says.
Right.
And if we did that, we'd be a whole lot better off.
And I don't think, quite clearly, I don't think going back through history that we've really given it an honest try Mm-hmm. I think politics got into it way early on. I mean, you look at the Supreme Court where they decided they're going to interpret the Constitution, and I think it's really, I don't believe it's their job. I think it's their job to look at the case at hand and does it fall into the category of doing this. Just like here in Georgia, you know, our state constitution declares that the purpose of our government here in Georgia is to safeguard the liberties of the individual citizens. So when you're sitting in a committee and they're introducing a bill and you ask them, sir, I've got the Constitution of the state of Georgia right here, and the first line says that, you know, the whole purpose of your existence here as a government is to secure the liberties of the citizens of the state of Georgia. What Amen. Portion of your bill accomplishes that goal, and how does it accomplish it? And you get blank stares. Because it does not do that.
Right.
And it's not even a consideration in the bill. That's where we've got to get back to.
And that's, you know, that's what the federal government was supposed to do, was to protect the rights and the Bill of Rights of we the people.
Yep.
And they derive their stature from the states, and the people give the states their, you know what I'm saying? It
Correct.
Goes from that level.
How safe and secure are we when we're running around sticking $600 million missiles in a hornet's nest?
Oh, jeez.
And spending our posterity into slavery for the next 10 generations.
It's sick. It's
beyond sick. It's the absolute antithesis
it's lunacy. Yeah.
of what our government was created for.
It's
truly an abomination.
Yeah, it's a complete opposite.
It's truly an abomination.
It is.
Well, my next sign for my Tea Party rally, I'm going to spell out, Pharaoh Obama, set my people free.
I can't help but using that terminology because it's so aptly descriptive of what we're doing and what we've got. And even the Tea Parties, God bless them, they got a lot of the right ideas, but I think we're still, by and large, missing the boat.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Glenn was it Glenn the other night, that somebody the other night was talking about Sun Tzu, The Art of War. I think it was G. Edward Griffin, and the first rule in the Art of War is to know your enemy. The second rule is to know yourself, and the third one is to divide and conquer. Well, guess what? We're very divided, and that's why I think the monetary issue. It's not party. It has nothing to do with party. It doesn't have anything to do with race, creed, gender. Everybody falls into the same category when it comes to money. And I think that can be a unifying factor.
Yes. Because what they've done is they created, like he said, a cartel, and it's all about power. And then when they collude with the government and everybody's in bed together, it's perpetual. No one's going to let that go. They don't want to let their power go.
Well, and it's not only perpetual, it's terminal. It's terminal, perpetual debt.
Yep.
And that's what we're at. We're reaching the precipice of the terminal cancer right now. That's what we're in the midst of.
It's so horrible. I just wish everyone could see it. I'm so glad at least Glenn brought that guy on, and then now I've got information I can give to others, you know, and everything you give me, I pass it on. Oh, yeah. All the time. I am the Paulette Rivera in my little neighborhood.
I think that's awesome. And you know, I almost agree with Glenn what he said last night, that I think at this point it's all ashore that are going ashore, pretty much all the ones that are going to open their eyes and see it before it's too late are pretty much awake.
Yeah, before it all implodes.
Yeah, exactly, and that's been my life's mission at this point, is trying to get everyone to focus on the head of the snake.
Yep.
You know, we've got all these, and there are a billion issues out there.
Yeah,
it really is.
You're right, because until we cut the head off the snake,
yep,
we're doing nothing.
Because
yep,
you're feeding
I mean,
it. It's like the mongoose and the snake. There's too many mongooses, or there's not enough something. Somebody's just getting fat, and
well,
you got to stop feeding it.
It's like the old saying, you know, we're hacking at the branches, and we need to strike at the root.
Precisely.
It's like a hydra.
It's
cut off one head and it grows two.
Right, and it's not that it's that these other issues aren't important. They are. But until we can get our monetary house in order, you know, none of the rest of it's really going to matter.
Yeah, it's like being a hamster in a wheel.
It absolutely is. And it's information overload. I mean, every single day there's something new, and we get all this crap coming from every different direction.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
and so it's just, it's a big, huge damn distraction. It really is.
You know, it's true, and that's why I like focusing on the one or two things that we can maybe, you know, take a stab at, because the first thing to do is to put on the whole armor of God, because we're getting arrows from everywhere. I mean, backwards, frontwards, sideways, underneath, all day long. And I guess I agree with Glenn, the Faith, Hope, and Charity. Put on the armor of God and get on board the ship and do your line in the sand and figure out what side you're on, because it's sinking. You know,
I've been fighting with the internal ripoff service for years. And you know what? My wife and I mean, it was, I mean, it's precarious. A lot of people are just terrified of them. And I got to the point, I said, look, we've got to make a decision as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Either we're going to stand on principle and give
right.
them the middle finger, or we're just going to slink off in the corner and pay them their tribute, and that's going to
yeah.
be the end of it. Well, I'm
like the Somali pirates that they're acting like, yeah.
Yep, I'm going to stand on principle. And I heard a gospel song the other night, and part of the lyrics to the song said, you have nothing to lose because it all belongs to him.
Yep, that's exactly correct.
And until we can get people to have that attitude, because I'm here to tell you, if they want everything that
mm-hmm.
I have, they can have it
uh-huh.
all. The house,
because they can't
cars,
take,
the money,
they can't take your
mean,
soul.
It doesn't
they,
mean
but they
crap
can't,
to me.
They can't take your soul because you are, that's already been given to someone else.
Exactly.
The higher authority.
They can throw
yeah.
my butt in jail. I don't care. I'm still
well,
going to tell people the truth.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Exactly. And, you know, like the Bible says, store up those treasures in heaven, because those are the only ones that count. And the dust can't get to them, and they're not going to, you know. And they could line their pyramids with everything. You still can't take it with you. Pharaoh's proved that.
Well, exactly.
Idiots.
And look, I mean, it's really so very basic. If, you know, I've got friends that, you know, have been doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and they say, oh, I'll go into court, and I've got a great argument. I said, really? Think about that for a minute. You're talking about a group of people that will not bat an eye over killing a million or so people. I mean, they'll go in and they'll just start bombing, and they're killing women, children. They don't care. Do you really, honest to God, believe that you're going to walk into one of their courts and stand up there and present such an amazing prose that they're going to go, wow, you're right. You're free to go. You're insane if you believe that.
Yep.
They do not give a damn about anything but their own power. And they
That's
don't care
what it's about.
Who gets in their way. They will kill you. They will lock your butt away. They will justify their actions to themselves any way possible.
True. Well, you know, it's that old progressive slogan, there is no right or wrong. They make up their own right and wrong as they go along. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, even tonight, coming home in traffic, and Hannity's on, and they got this woman who was selling Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, I didn't get to hear that one. What happened?
And, well, I mean, you know, she got a complaint. The city sent her a letter, said, well, you know, by ordinance, you're not allowed to sell anything out of your home or your property because you're not zoned for commercial, blah, blah, blah.
Jeez.
She went on for 15 minutes trying to justify allowing her children to break the law. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to side with the city and their ordinance here. But I'm just trying to make an example. She gave every reason in the world, the civics lesson, her children were learning about algebra and math and how to deal with the public, and all those things may be absolutely true. But she was asked to stop, and she was floundering.
So was she trying to die on that hill? Is that what she was going to do?
Well, absolutely. And you know what? I would have more respect for the woman if she came out and said, you know what? This is my property, and those are my children, and if my girls want to sell Girl Scout cookies from my front driveway, then by God, this is America, and they're entitled to do so, and I don't give a damn what their ordinance says. They can stuff it. I'd have had a lot more respect for her than sitting there trying to justify, give all the good reasons why what she was doing was okay.
Yeah.
Just
how much time we got?
Tell them, look, this is, it's my right. You know, blow it out your nose.
Yeah, it's a shame. Well, I mean, she could let them go down to the corner store like everyone else does. I mean, the kids do it all the time because Albertsons doesn't care, you know.
Right,
so,
but here again, you're in violation of city ordinance or code and all these other things.
That's how ridiculous
our freedom has gotten in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So why doesn't she go to the city council meeting and demand something be done about it, or write to the mayor or whatever, you know? I mean, that she could do. That would be one way to go.
Well, if she was really smart, she'd dig into the law and find out that an ordinance does not carry the force and effect of law, because only the state legislature has been given the authority to write law.
Got it.
Yeah, that is true.
So, you know, they can send her notes and they can fine her, but they can't put her in jail and they can't make it a criminal act. Once they do that, they've crossed a boundary. So basically she can thumb her nose at them. But I think, you know, it could be a teaching lesson for her children.
Right.
This is what America has come to. This is their idea of freedom.
Well, that's where people, you know, they don't recognize how the freedoms are being just taken, and how at what level they're being taken, all the way down to their little city council level or whatever.
Yeah,
folks, we got.
I mean, some of the city councilmen are. I mean, that's the worst. They're like little Nazis.
Yeah, I mean, the power just goes to their head, and they get, you know, a tingle in their leg because they've got control.
And the neighbor, you know, the neighbor calls in and complains because the dogs are barking. Hey, how about you just walk across the street and talk to your neighbor and say, look, you know, I don't mind you guys selling this, but, I mean, you know, you're driving the neighbor's dog nuts. Well, how about you talk to the guy with the dog?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really? Say, hey, can you put your dog in the house or something? They're driving the whole damn neighborhood crazy.
Exactly.
Nope.
Do what they used to do years ago and, yeah, be a neighbor.
Yeah.
Folks, we got 2 minutes remaining. We need to
wrap it up.
We need to wrap it up and say some goodbyes and give some invites.
Awesome, you guys.
I'll give my goodbye, America,
me.
Right now.
Hi, Bill. All right, guys, have a blessed evening. God bless America and God bless this show.
Amen.
Talk to you on the chat room. Bye.
Ron, you got a goodbye? How are you?
Yeah, I just waiting for everybody to clear and make sure it was coast was clear. I really appreciate you guys inviting me to call in, and you know, I always seem to steal the lion's share of the time, but I really do appreciate everything you guys do, Bill and Yola and Frank calling in, Linda her show, and Terry with her show on Thursdays. You know, I mean, it takes everybody working towards the same goals, and just, you know, God bless this family.
Yeah, the patriotfamilies.com with a YS, we have an amazing family with an amazing talent that goes unbridled, and it shows. And the people, you know, our listeners grow every week, and our site grows every week because of it, because there's great stuff happening, and we do make a difference, folks. PatriotFamiliesWithAYS.com. They're going to shut me down in about 40 seconds. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to invite you guys all back next week. Tomorrow night, we have a show at 6 o'clock right from the left coast with Linda. And Thursday night will be Patriot Education with Terry. That starts at 6. Guys, please show up, have fun, call in, talk to these ladies. They're very, very smart and very good at what they do. Good night, everyone. Thank you for being here. God bless America and God bless our nation. And let's just keep praying for it and let's make a difference.